1 Corinthians chapter 12. This morning we're going to be focusing on verse 10. We'll be in this verse for a couple of weeks. I feel impressed, believe it's by the Lord, to take each one of these and explain exactly what they are. This being the groundwork when we get into detail about speaking in tongues, about prophecy. One of the things we'll talk about this morning is prophecy. What exactly is prophecy? We'll study that this morning. Next week we want to study about discernment of spirits. How to discern God's Spirit. Whether it is God's Spirit that's ministering through the Word or if it's a false spirit. And then 2 weeks from today we want to take speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. All this has to do with the fact that Paul is impressing upon the believers, the emphasis is that there is one Spirit of God. Verses 1 through 3 in chapter 12, there's one Spirit of God and we call Jesus our Lord based upon the Spirit of God within us that gives us that ability to have that kind of relationship and that approach to Jesus. It is not religious. It has nothing to do with words. It has nothing to do with saying Jesus is Lord, therefore I'm a Christian. It has to do with calling upon Him as my Lord. That is the ability that the Holy Spirit gives. Secondly, there are three areas of ministry, verses 4, 5, and 6. There are varieties of charismata, that is, expressions of grace, but there is one, the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities or workings. This is the word energy. There are varieties of the way that God expresses His energy. But it is the same God who energizes all things and all people. Beginning at verse 7, the third thing. Here are the manifestations of the Spirit. To manifest means to unfold, to reveal, or to make known. I cannot call upon Jesus as my Lord without God's Spirit. I cannot even function in service to Christ without His Spirit. I cannot know anything about the Lord unless the Holy Spirit manifests or make known to me by His abilities and His capacities the things of Christ. I cannot. It's beyond my comprehension and beyond my human ability. We saw that in verse 8, there are actually 9 manifestations, but in verse 8 we saw 2 of them. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge. The word means to speak. A person cannot speak the knowledge and the wisdom of God without the Holy Spirit. Because we do not comprehend and we do not make known the facts about the Lord and His wisdom as it applies in everyday life. One cannot do that without experiencing the things of Christ and God's Spirit giving them the ability to share that with other people. It is a speaking manifestation. We saw last time in verses 9 and 10, faith is given by the Holy Spirit. The word faith in Greek means persuasion. It is a word that describes the interaction between the believer and his Lord through the Spirit. Persuasion. The interaction. As God's Spirit ministers to me and I speak and interact back to Him, it's called faith. To another, gifts of healings in the same or the one Spirit. We've taken this for 2 weeks. It's in the plural because there are various kinds of healings. There's what are called messianic and apostolic healings. Signs that were to show Jesus to be the Messiah, and actually signs and miracles through healings in which the apostles, were worked through the apostles so that people would know that the word they were giving was from God. We also saw that God does heal, even today. But we also saw last week that God does not heal today. He heals for His purposes and for His reasons. We took Isaiah 53 from a Hebrew standpoint, because that's the text that a lot of believers use as the basis for the promise of physical healing. By His stripes you are healed. It's the Hebrew word rapha that means restored. 1 Peter 2:25, Peter quoted that scripture and says, "You have been returned, you've been restored to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." It's salvation that Isaiah 53 is talking about, not physical healing. Does God heal? Yes, He does. Does He also not heal? Yes, He does that too, whatever His purposes are. There is no promise, and there was no message in the early church, taught by the early church, or in the early church, that there is a promise of physical healing for every believer. That was not taught. Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. The word working, again, is the word energize. Energizings. And the word miracles is the word dunamis, for where we get our word dynamite from. Power. Energizings of power, in the plural, are given to certain people. This is when God's Spirit manifests Himself to a person. God's energy energizes them, and miracles or things of power happen. I'll give you a brief teaching, explanation, and meaning for this term, working of power. It's basically God's Spirit intervening the natural laws of nature to perform something that is not according to the laws of nature. Any kind of miracle. Dunamis was used in two different ways in the New Testament. Dunamis, first of all, was used for the casting out of demonic spirits. It took dunamis of the Spirit of God for demonic spirits to be cast out. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're turning to quite a few scriptures this morning to illustrate for you how we get the meanings and definitions. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, at verse 11, Paul says, "I have become a fool in boasting, and you have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles." That's the super apostles. They came into town and said, if Paul's an apostle, we're super apostles. "Though I am nothing." Truly, here's the verse, verse 12. "Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished amongst you, with all perseverance," that's hupomeno, remaining under, "in signs and wonders and mighty deeds," that's dunamis. That's the dative plural of the word dunamis. It's called the signs of the apostles. That term and that word is found throughout the scriptures, used just like this. Again, Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed," that is, established for us, "by those who heard Him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with various miracles," dunamis, "and gifts or distributions of the Holy Spirit according to His own will." So how are you going to escape if you neglect so great a salvation? And God has established His Word through dunamis, through miracles, where God's Spirit violates, interrupts, and intercedes the laws of nature to do that which goes against nature. It's miraculous. It is interesting. The word miracle is the word power, dunamis. Various acts of power. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So to another, working of miracles, energizing of power. Now here's the one we're going to center on, and we'll stop with this one today, but this is very important. And to another, prophecy. Prophecy. This is fascinating to me, since it is an important subject and a popular subject. What does God's Word say about prophecy? First of all, the word itself, both the word prophecy and the word prophet, those of you that are in the Greek class, comes from two words. It's the word pro and the word phemi, which means to speak. In English, it's pronounced pro and phemi. Pro means to or toward, and phemi means to speak. It is the Greek word for a spokesperson, a spokesman. Somebody who stands before others and speaks the Word of God. In the Old Testament, a prophet was somebody who received the Word of God and spoke it to God's people. The word prophecy and the word prophet in the New Testament mean exactly the same thing. It means to tell forth the Word of God, to be a spokesman for God and His Word. Now that is just what the word means. That's the word itself. But what about the meaning in Scripture? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. The Scripture itself uses this word to describe for us what prophecy is in its meaning. Here's the definition of the word. A spokesperson, a spokesman for the Lord. Revelation 19, an angel speaking to John at verse 9 said, "Then he," that is the angel, "said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him." So John is falling at the feet of the angel, Revelation 19:10, falling at the feet of the angel. And he says to him, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brother who have the testimony of Jesus." The angel says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The Bible says prophecy is speaking forth the testimony of Jesus Christ. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Whatever that testimony is, Old Testament, New Testament, whatever that testimony is, that's what prophecy is. It is the testimony of Jesus Christ being spoken and related to people. How about its purpose? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Back to our text, but over a couple of chapters. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The purpose for prophecy. The Bible tells us what that is. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual things, but especially that you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But the one who prophesies, he speaks three things. Number one, he speaks edification." That's the word for development. It means to build a house. Personal development is the purpose for prophecy. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 14. Exhortation means encouragement. And thirdly, comfort to men. So it is the testimony of Jesus Christ that is ministered through speaking or relaying the testimony of Jesus Christ so that people can be built up, developed in the things of Christ, encouraged in the things of Christ, and comforted with the things of Christ. So the Bible has told us, first of all, if you were able to look up the word, the Greek word for prophet and prophecy, it would be a spokesperson or something that is spoken by someone. And the Spirit of God is the one who speaks through the person. What is the Spirit of God speaking when He ministers through a person through prophecy? It is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he testifies with the testimony of Jesus Christ so that people can be built up, developed in the things of Christ, encouraged in the things of Christ, and comforted with the things of Christ. Now here's the importance of all of this. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 1. So I took you there the first time so you could find the book. Revelation chapter 1. Here's the importance of understanding about the Word and what it means and how the Bible presents it as far as its meaning. It's the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ for personal development, encouragement, and comfort. But Revelation chapter 1 verse 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants." So right away, folks, this is not the book of Revelations. It is not never called that. It's called the Revelation. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It reveals Him. It carries the testimony of Jesus. "So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show to His servants the things which must happen in a short period of time. And He sent and signified by His angel to His servant John, who bore witness to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all the things that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of this," what? "Prophecy. And keep those things," that is, guard them, "which are written in it, for the time is near." The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the testimony of Jesus, and the entire book is called prophecy. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. As far as I'm concerned, this puts everything in perspective in the last chapter of the book of Revelation about prophecy. Revelation chapter 22. At the end of the chapter, at verse 18. John says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book." For years, the theological debate has raged on as to what book is this making reference to. Some people hold to it's the whole book, meaning the Bible. Others, the book of Revelation. Well, the book of Revelation traveled by itself. And what we call the Bible was not yet formed when the book of Revelation was written. It's talking about this book, the book of Revelation. That's why the book of Revelation is at the end of the New Testament. It's because it is called prophecy. It is called the testimony of Jesus. It is the Lord's final prophecy and final testimony to His church. Period. You might think I'm being legalistic and dogmatic when I say that, but listen to what it says. Again, verse 18, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." God meant the book of Revelation to be God's final testimony of Jesus to the church. Everything from creation to the end of the world and life in heaven is written in this book right here. prophecy today is taking that which has already been established about the testimony of Jesus Christ from creation to the end of the world and ministering that to people's hearts, being a spokesman, a spokesperson for Christ. In a couple of weeks, we'll study about the various body parts and body members within the body of Christ. One of them is a mouth. That's what a prophet is. That's what that person's function is in the body of Christ. God's Spirit has the ability to minister the testimony of Jesus Christ. But according to this book, anything after this book, if you add to it, if he added to you the plagues that are written therein, if you take away from it and try to change it and go in a different direction, your name will be removed from your part, the book of life. I take that serious. In fact, I take it so serious, that is why the church today has not spent time studying Revelation chapters 2 and 3 about the Lord's final message to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Because everything that's in there that the Lord says He hates and that He calls for repentance of is happening in the body of Christ today. We would rather have somebody stand up and give a word of prophecy, whatever that means, than to spend time in God's Word taking this book and the testimony of Jesus Christ that He has given us, what we call the canonized scriptures. All of God's Word from creation to the end, we have it all. A human being, even from the original languages, cannot study this book from cover to cover and understand every concept in it in a lifetime. Yet people are coming and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Thus saith the Lord. I remember in Acts chapter 16 when Paul was ministering, a girl who had a spirit of divination came up. She was being used by people to tell fortunes. This would be Satan's copy of the word of knowledge. So be careful. Satan can have the power to tell people's fortunes and even tell you about yourself without them even knowing you. This fortune teller, this demonized woman who is being used by her owners to tell fortunes and they were making money off of it, when Paul came into the city, they came up to Paul and she goes, "Behold the servants of the Most High God. Listen to them because they will show you the way of salvation." And Paul turned and looked to her and spoke to the demon. Now you see, I would have said, "Oh, she's seen the light. She's promoting Paul. Listen to these who are the servants of the Most High God." But Paul saw that it was not the right spirit. We're going to see that next week in the discernment of spirits, that even Satan can speak and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, at least point you in the right direction, just to gain entrance. It's not that Satan preaches the truth as much as he can join up and he can prophesy, he can encourage, he can do all of these things, and you have to be careful. But just because somebody comes along and they have a word of knowledge or they have prophecy about you, and even though it might come true, that doesn't mean it's from God. 15, 20, 30 years ago, in the church, in the body of Christ, the body of Christ held so true to this book as being the inspired Word of God that's been left for us, that everything anybody said, you would check to make sure that it's true. What has happened in the church today and in the last days, there's apostasy. Church is going on, but it's falling away from the Lord. Because what we have done is we've taken this book and we have shelved the book, and we would rather hear God speak to us through people. This book, they say, is too confusing. And it's boring to just learn. Rather have God speak through other people. Well, I don't know what your Bible says. Mine says, if anybody adds to the prophecy of this book, if anybody takes away from the prophecy of this book, it is God's last word to His people. What is prophecy today? Prophecy today is being used by God as a spokesperson to minister the testimony of Jesus Christ to the hearts of people. Period. It is not fortune telling, it's telling forth the things of God. To be a spokesperson for God and to speak the things of God is not a human ability. It is a manifestation of God's Spirit. So some people think prophets are just people that go around and come up with special anointed messages and they give it to people. How do you know it's from God? How do the people who present themselves as prophets know it's from God? It's because they believe it is. We'll take this a step further next week when we study about discernment of spirits. How do you discern whether it's the Spirit of God or not? How do you discern whether the truth is being told to you from the Word of God? We'll take discernment of spirits next week. Keep in mind, don't get lost in the fact that we're moving through these nine things slowly in order to share with you what God's Word says they are, both from the original language definition as well as the scriptural presentation of its use and meaning and purpose. Don't get lost in the main message. The main message is that there's one Spirit of God who has the abilities and the capacities to do all of these things, and when God's Spirit manifests Himself to and through someone, these things happen. And you don't have one, you have one Spirit that has all of these capacities. No one can speak the testimony of Jesus Christ in truth without God's Spirit. It is not a human ability. It is the ability of God's Spirit. All of these things God gives to us. But Satan is also amongst the church, and he is also copying the various things that God's Spirit does. We'll get more into that next week when we talk about discernment of spirits. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how we are grateful to You for Your Spirit being amongst us. You have not left us as orphans, but Your Spirit, who searches the deep things of God, reveals the truth of the things of Christ to us, ministers the things of Christ to us, so that we might know our Lord. But Satan also uses Scripture, uses things outside of the Word of God to distract us and to draw our attention away. We pray that You'd lead and guide our heart, cause us to be totally dependent upon Your Spirit to guide us in the way of truth. In the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples at the end of the prayer, He prayed concerning the evil one, that You'd keep us from the evil one. Our total dependence on You is to keep us away from evil and deception and the lie. We confess today that we in our own ability don't have that ability. It comes through Your Spirit. Teach us to search the Scriptures. Teach us to look for the Spirit of God and not the persuasion of man, so that our relationship with the Lord and our walk with the Lord will be healthy, that we can put our trust in Your Spirit ministering to us through Your Scriptures, which so many have abandoned to chase after various experiences. Again, help us to learn that without you we cannot do one thing. And we're so thankful for that, that we have you in our hearts. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.